My first favorite country singer, Doug Kershaw, DaleWileyShow.com. Now available on YouTube. And we're live now with Doug Kershaw. How cool is this?
Well, to be able to see your face.
I know, it's so wonderful.
That's so cool.
But this is such a wonderful addition because we talked about this before, but when I was a little kid, I was the biggest fan of yours, and it's so cool to get to actually see you face to face and have you be on this podcast. All the things we're doing, it's just so awesome. And so now tell me what you've done during the pandemic.
I'm sorry, what am I doing?
What have you done during the pandemic?
Well, I'm telling you what, I've got projects, especially right now.
Okay.
I'll back off first. I accumulated, I never threw anything away.
Okay.
All my reels and reels, my cassettes, my 78s, everything. And I've written so many songs and recorded that's never been released.
Uh-huh.
And I went, about 2 years ago, I went through all those things and put together this out of all of those, those reel to reels.
Okay.
It's called, the anthology of Rusty and Doug.
Okay.
Now I'm overflowing with VHS videos, live shows, television, movies, and I'm going through there and I'm knocking myself out because I'm going to put together some videos, like live at the Palomino, or live at
That's so fun. That's so wonderful.
It is fun.
Is any of this out yet?
Oh, no, I'm just working on it.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so fun. And so you're in Colorado, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Greeley, Colorado.
Right. And so basically, let's talk about a couple things, because you did indicate that you don't like to play the fiddle by yourself. Is that right?
It's kind of awkward.
It's not the same. It's totally not the same.
Plus, it's free.
Exactly. No, that's totally fine. And so the first talking to you, we talked about your appearance with Bob Dylan and Jody Mitchell on that show. And then what happened to you after that?
Oh, after the Johnny Cash premiere?
Right. Yes.
Oh my gosh. It was like overnight. My album had just been completed for Warner Brothers. And overnight, I thought Rusty and Doug.
Right.
We were pretty dang big artists, you know.
You were.
I thought we were huge. Not. Not even touching what I went through for the first year. Bam! I mean, it was just rehearsal.
Right.
Just a rehearsal. And I was so happy. I was so happy because that's what I've always wanted. I've written songs all my life just so I could be a singer.
Right.
And I wanted to be Ernest Stubb or whoever, anybody. I just wanted to be on stage.
Well, and that's a good question. Who were your first musical heroes?
Oh, my. Well, it would have been the Cajun people, Cajun French,
right.
Like the Nathan Abshares and Henri Lejeune. And, when I first heard jukeboxes, Shining Shoes, I could hear them from outside. I was a little kid, and I was 7, 8 years old. And, earning money, I'd bring my fiddle and play a song, and I'd shine them shoes for 10 for 10 cents a piece. Made $10.20 the first day. But anyway, I started hearing this beautiful music. Like I could hear Jolie Blonde by Harry Soaps. Then I'd hear String of Pearl. But oh my God, these beautiful, beautiful songs,
Right.
And to me, it was music. Just music.
Yes.
That's the reason I don't want to be pegged. And I refuse anybody to peg me anywhere because I write and I play music.
Right.
That's all. I do not label. And it's worked out for me pretty good.
It certainly has.
But my hero, Hank Thompson, in country. Yeah. Hank Thompson. That's before rock and roll. And then here comes Fat Domino. People like that. When I was switching to English music. And by the way, one of my biggest thrills was to record with Fats Domino.
Really? Yes, I know that you recorded with
him. Don't mess with my tutu. We had this up. what a thrill that was.
Yeah, because he was such a fantastic entertainer and such a great songwriter, too. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. And you know, he didn't record with anybody hardly.
Right.
And he paid me one of the greatest compliments an entertainer could pay me.
Okay.
We did the first tracks, and I played the fiddle, and he played piano, and we sang. Then I laid my Cajun accordion down. Uh-huh. And all of that stuff. And I did harmony and all that. And when we got through, he was listening. He said, "Doug, how'd you know that was going to work?" I mean, he just acknowledged that I knew what I was doing. You know? Awesome. I mean, to me, that was a great compliment. Cajun accordion with a rock and roll piano player. It's music, man. It's music.
Right. Good music, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Other than Fats, who are the people that made you the most happy to be on stage with?
That I recorded with, you mean?
Yeah, whatever. Oh. Yeah.
I did with Hank Williams Jr. You know, we did Cajun Baby. But one of my favorite things was doing a show with Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, I've known her since she first started with Porter Wagoner, because I was a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And she was, matter of fact, I was the one that suggested she come to Vegas, Lake Tahoe. And it was history after that. But her and I did Louisiana Saturday Night.
Right.
It's one of the most exciting videos I've ever seen. Who could not perform with Dolly Parton?
Exactly. Just who could not love her? She's so wonderful.
Oh, she's so real.
Yes.
I'm talking real.
And she's such, I just love her because everything she does is just so fantastic and so cool. And that's why I love having you on here, because you got the same thing. All you do is wonderful.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's nice. Yeah. I'll have to tell my wife that.
Yes, please. But you know.
Well, people like myself, of course, and Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton, we're who we are. We're the same person. Right now, I'm the same person as I am on stage. I'm just a little more showy because I'm an entertainer. But we're still the real, we kept the ground under our feet.
Right.
Anything she does, she is sincere. You know, she's real, so sincere. I mean, what she did to put $1 billion for the COVID thing is incredible, really.
She's wonderful. Now, so tell me some of the people that inspire you today, like David Deke. Tell me about those people. Tell me about David Deke.
Who's that?
David Deke.
Oh, I love him. I love these guys. They're the one. They're the guy that came to me and said, "Doug, do you know you're a rockabilly legend?" I said, "A what?" And they started saying, "Hey, May," and all that. I said, "Whoa, I'm a star somewhere else." And we started doing some shows together.
Right. And
I enjoy that so much. I can't wait to get back to doing it.
Absolutely.
They are real people, man.
And they're really big fans of the music, too. They're huge fans.
That's the thing. You know, it's hard. At least, I don't know about today, but back when I started, it was hard to find an artist or a musician that would share his stage. He might make the play, but it's his stage.
Whereas
with Dave and Deke, it's our stage.
Yes.
And that is, you can't beat that. You know?
Right, exactly.
You cannot beat that. Our stage.
That, well, that's the deal. And they're big fans of yours, just like I am. And I just think that you continuing to write and play is just so wonderful. And so, are there any plans then at all for what to do after the pandemic or what?
After the pandemic, they're starting to rebook, you know, like the New Orleans Jazz Fest. I was booked for that.
Right.
And all that. Well, there's a couple of things in March that supposedly there, it's on the books. That's rescheduled for me. So it'll happen again, you know. But right. Deke and Dave, man, I want to do some rock and roll, rockabilly festival. That just, you know, I come alive. That's another phase. It was something I was doing. I've got to tell you this. The first show, they brought me to Las Vegas to do, whether you call it rockabilly.
Las Vegas,
yeah. And I had to go back in my catalog 60 years and learn these songs again.
They know their stuff, definitely.
God, boys. Yeah, well, but it was all worth it.
No, that's the fun thing, though, because all of us that ever liked this music, we love everything that you guys did. And it's so fun to be able to connect with you because you're a part of this music. And that's so fun. And so who are the people that came after other than Dave and Deke that you really like?
You mean at the moment?
The newer ones. The newer ones.
You know, I like all the entertainers, but because there's some good ones. And my problem is I never really listened to music. just work on my music. First I didn't have a radio when I was starting. Right. No TV. There's so much good stuff out there.
Right.
So much good stuff. You know, my wife listens to everything and my son. So I get a good feel for everything.
Right. Well, let's go back to when you were growing up. Tell me about what it was like to be in the era that you were in when you were growing up there.
Well, that was right. Well, it was during World War II that my dad killed himself. You know, he committed suicide.
Right.
And we moved inland, a little town called Lake Arthur, with my mom and us four boys. And it was tough. It was tough. So my brother, Pee-wee, started playing fiddle. He was 5.5 years older than me with a guy called Dinesh Lacombe. And then he went on with another band, and doggone it, I got the job. I was 9. I got the job playing fiddle. I had to borrow his fiddle to play it, but I did.
And Pee-wee still played, but now tell me about him and how it was to have him as a little brother. Tell me about Pee-wee. Tell me about Pee-wee.
Oh, Pee-wee? Well, he was always looking after us, more or less, but it was Pee-wee and the Continental Playboys. And I was, I knew I had to learn English. You know, my original language is Cajun French. And I know it fluently. I sang it, but I can't read or write it. But I figured if I wanted to go beyond 60 miles, at least to Arkansas, I had to do it in English. You know, so I started converting people. I had this this idea that there was three of us, three brothers, called, it was 10, 10, 10. Rusty would do 10, what you call blues, fast time enough, and people would do French, 10 French, and I would do 10 country. And maybe all of a sudden we get a TV show and all that stuff. And I wrote a song and got on records. And I was fortunate. There, you know, what I do, what I've written and recorded, I was able to capture
the feeling
of Cajun music that I learned as a kid into the English language.
Right.
Louisiana Man's a Cajun song.
Yes.
The world heard it. I just can't, to this day, I can't even imagine why it's so huge, that song.
Well, it's amazing. It's such an amazing song.
More with Doug Kershaw after a minute. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
Do you love music? Do you know about the musical map of Missouri?
Dallas Wayne,
Chuck Berry,
Dave Alvin, Robbie Foulkes,
The Skeletons,
The Ozark Mountain Daredevils,
Uncle Tupelo,
Wayne Carson,
Nellie,
Lou Whitney,
Symptoms Morales,
Kansas City, Jeff City,
St. Louis,
St. Joe,
Columbia,
Buckle of the Bible Belt,
The Studio on South Avenue in Springfield,
Missouri.
Add the Missouri Music Podcast to your list of favorites. Lawyer, author, and Slewfoot Records label owner Dale Wiley takes you on a musical trip around Missouri while raising funds for Musical Map of Missouri, a nonprofit organization which will help ensure Missouri musicians affected by COVID-19. Visit MissouriMusicPodcast.com for more information. Tune in to the Missouri Music Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with the Louisiana Man, Doug Kershaw, DaleWileyShow.com, and also on YouTube.
Why did Pee-wee not say with it in the same way that you and Rusty did?
Well, when I got out of the Army, I had to go to the Army. We just signed with the Grand Ole Opry. And 6 months later, I had to go in the Army. And so everybody split up. Pee-wee went with Jim Reeves, and Rusty did some sessions. And I served 2 years. And came out, and so Pee-wee came back to meet me, but man, we were down and out. And his wife was with him, and he and her decided they didn't want the road anymore. And I don't blame him. You know, he took his family and moved to Texas, and it was kind of sick because that same week he left, I wrote Louisiana Man.
That's bad timing, definitely.
I was so lonesome, you know. I written seven songs that day, and that was the seventh song. Wow. We went to Wheeling, West Virginia, Rusty and I, and by the time we got there, Wesley Rose called. He said, son, y'all get back to Nashville. He says,
really?
You got to hit every station, rock, pop, everybody's playing it.
Well, tell me about Acuff and Rose. Tell me about both of them. Well, Wesley Rose, tell me about him.
And Wesley Rose, oh my gosh. Yes. He was a father figure to us. You know, Fred Rose, he was Fred Rose's son.
Right, I know.
Fred Rose, one of the greatest writers.
Yes.
Wesley had Acuff and Rose, which is Roy Acuff and Fred Rose. Right. And they developed Hickory Records. And that's how we got on. I recorded a song called So Lovely Baby. I had this idea to do a trio. Had a piano player that was a great bass voice. And I wrote So Lovely Baby. We recorded it in Crawley, the feature record. Well, J.D. Miller was going to go to Nashville to get with Acuff and Rose. And I talked him into bringing me. And I was in the studio. He was playing. He said, Wesley, you got to hear this hit I've got. He was playing So Lovely Baby, and the machine caught it and ripped the master.
Yes.
J.D. was about to cry, and he said, what am I going to do? Wesley says, I'll take him. I'll record him. That's how we got on the record. So we went out and recorded So Lovely Baby. Went to number 17 in the nation. I didn't realize how important that was back then.
Right.
In 55? We were up against Eddie Arnold, Tennessee Ernie, you know, wow, 17.
Now, I bet that when you, I've been thinking about this because I'm talking to Carlene Carter next week, and I love her, but I want to know what your memories are of Merle Kilgore. Tell me about
Merle Kilgore.
Absolutely.
We all know Merle Kilgore. Yeah. I knew him in Louisiana Hayride when we were all there. And of course, he finally got with Hank Jr. Right. And he's written some great songs.
No, definitely. Any good stories? Because he's
funny. Him and Jr. Warner wrote this, what is it, a fire? Ring of Fire?
Ring of Fire, yes. Oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh. Of course, I think Johnny could have hit me in a hit.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love that era and those people. And so are there any others that stand out as being really important, you know, things that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, you mean people what we talked about?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
We're like Johnny and I, you know, I went after the TV show. I did 6 concerts with him.
Right.
Even the Hollywood Bowl on his show. He just wanted to push harder. I tried to thank him. He said, Doug, I'm getting as much from you as you are from me. Right. Just good people. In other words, don't thank me. I'm good for that. But we sit down and talk about things like when we first started, you know.
Right.
Elvis, he had a gimmick. We didn't have a gimmick. We were real.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Johnny and I said, but he said, I know for him, he was saying, for me, it was hard to stay real.
Right.
And I said, well, you're looking at one right here that's hard to stay real. You know? People were trying to change me constantly.
Oh, you know,
my producers.
How so? Tell me about that.
Well, like Buddy Killen, when I signed with Warner Brothers, you know, he'd say, well, Doug, you should do this song, that song. I said, well, that's a nice song. That's a nice song. I said, but I'm going to do this one, you know.
Right.
Because I had that album in my head. I had it all written. And I said, we'd do a track, and he said, that's not going to work. And I'd say, why? He said, it's not commercial. I said, what's commercial? What's commercial?
Right.
He said, when it sells. I said, well, it will be commercial. Put it out. You know, because to me, a record producer is a person that gets the artist to produce for him.
Right. Yes.
You know, he should take care of technical stuff. And if there's problem, bring it out. But this was not my producer's album. It was my album.
Right. Well, and then for that point, talk about producing Rusty. Tell me about what that was like.
Producing Rusty?
Yes.
Oh, that was wonderful. Because, you know, after I got my contract with Warner's, Atlanta called and wanted me to sign with them. Well, I came, but I said, my brother's available, Rusty.
Right.
So they gave him a contract. And they said, he's going to be involved. I said, if you want me to, I'll produce it. I'm sure. So I got to be in the studio on the other side of the glass, you know. And I loved it. I loved it. My brother was so talented.
He was.
So talented. We just didn't want the same things. You know.
Still, what do you mean?
Well, one thing, you know, it took years for me to realize this. But you cannot make another person chase your dreams.
Right. Okay.
And we had
your dream was to be a star and to be an entertainer. Is that correct?
Yeah. And he just wanted to play guitar, but he never told me. And he didn't want to deal with the business and all that, you know. And that's okay. But I realized that I was trying to get him to chase my dream.
Really? Okay.
And, but I turned him loose in that studio. I said, "Not chase your dream." it was a great album.
Good albums, definitely.
I wish he would have followed through, but there goes. He didn't like the business.
Right. Well, and, you know, Neil Young was a big fan of his, definitely.
Yeah, was that Neil?
Yeah, Neil Young was a big fan of Rusty.
Oh, yeah, and he used Rusty so much. He was an inspiration to Neil.
Yeah. Right, definitely. He was a huge fan of Rusty and Doug, definitely. Rusty.
Rusty was so God, he was great. But that with Neil, he got to do what he wanted to do, play guitar.
Right.
That's what he wanted to do, you know. And I was happy for him. You know,
well, those liner notes that he wrote for Neil are kind of uncanny and strange. I mean, they talk about rolling on the floor and all this stuff, but that was pretty interesting times, definitely.
Yeah, but he was just being rusty. Just being rusty. You know, with me, when we were together, it would have been difficult to allow him to do that because everything reflected on Rusty and Doug.
Right.
You know, that's the problem with a duet or a group. Everything reflects on everybody, you know.
Right.
But, he got to turn himself loose there, and I was happy. Happy for him.
That is awesome. And it's amazing to see that for brothers to work on that stuff, and that's so cool. And again, I just love your musical part in history, and I love talking to you every time I get to. I love it. And so thanks. That's kind of about there and what we need to say. But anything you want to talk about?
You keep cutting out. You keep cutting out that I can kiss
you. Else you need to talk about? Anything else you want to talk Would you about? Any questions or anything you want to talk about?
No, not really. Yeah, like what are you doing?
Well, I'm happy to tell you. I'm happy to give you that because I got the word yesterday that all of my catalog of my record label, Slewfoot Records, is going to be re-released this year. And that has Hank Lachlan on it. Really good album with Hank Lachlan and Vince Gill and Dolly Parton on it. And so to get that news and all that stuff happening is just mind-blowing. I'm having the best pandemic ever. That's what I say every time. Because if you're going to have a pandemic, you might as well make it the best one ever.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When you asked me to do this last night, I said, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I realized, what is it I'm doing? And I started doing some research, and I went to watch the hall to my son and said, man, you better help me.
But, and your son, Eli, was great, and thank you.
Eli is actually right now, he's a school teacher.
Wonderful.
He's a mathematician. He is incredible. But he's my
I'm
son.
Sure he is brilliant, just like you, no doubt about that. But yeah, I just enjoyed that. But the thing we get to announce is that this whole thing, we're going to have so many Slewfoot re-releases and so many wonderful things, including the Hank Lachlan. And, you know, Vince Gill, that was Hank Lachlan with Vince Gill and Dolly Parton. It's going to be so fun to have all this stuff out there.
Oh, Lord, yes. You know, I wish you all the success with this because, you know what, it's fun doing this. I don't apologize for not playing music, but I'm Cajun and I like to talk.
Well, I like to talk with you for sure. And so thank you so much for coming on here and spending a few minutes with me. I love it. I'm such a fan. Still am.
Thank you.
DaleWileyShow.com and also on YouTube.